Mental illness is epidemic in America, and the problem is spreading worldwide. It's time for decisive action, because the battle for the mind is part of a much larger war being waged between good and evil, with you as the prize. Welcome to Simple Solutions with Christian psychiatrist and author Dr. Timothy Jennings. For the next hour, we'll uncover Bible-based weapons for fighting destructive feelings and resolving inner conflicts. Dr. Jennings wants to arm you with the tools necessary for achieving emotional and mental stability as you strengthen your relationship with God. We'll open the phone lines for your questions in just a moment. I'm your Simple Solutions host, Charles Mills.
And welcome to the program. I grew up in Asia. My parents were Christian missionaries, and our white skin definitely set us apart from most everyone else. When we walked through the markets in the Philippines or on the islands of Japan or in Singapore, we really stuck out. We were the gaijin, the foreigner. I know what it's like to be different, to be considered strange, untrustworthy, even dangerous. And I know what it's like to be feared. For someone as totally unscary as me, that wasn't a pleasant situation in which to be. I also know what it's like to judge someone based on skin color. One night I was driving through a low-rent neighborhood in San Francisco. I came to a stoplight just as a young black man was approaching the corner on foot. Instinctively, I reached down and pressed the electronic lock button on my door, causing all of the doors of my car to lock with a resounding clunk. The young man heard it, chuckled under his breath, and kept walking. Why did I do that? If a white youth had been approaching the car, would I have done the same thing? Perhaps not. And that has always bothered me. Let's talk with Dr. Timothy Jennings about diversity and accepting those who don't look or act like us. Dr. Jennings, you heard the story I just told. What would be some of the reasons that drove me to respond the way I did that night in San Francisco?
Fear. Ultimately, fear, insecurity, and when we see somebody that is different than ourselves, we have an inherent pre-wired condition to be self-protective and fearful. And so we actually don't trust things that we are unfamiliar with. We have and it doesn't move away from people. Just go to circumstances or situations. In our listening audience, consider what it's like to move to a new city where you've never been, to move into a new home that you've never lived in before. Oftentimes, there is apprehension or anxiety or worry or fear just about change from the familiar to the unfamiliar. And that has to do with some awareness of our own finiteness, our own vulnerabilities, our own inabilities to control events outside ourselves, to control the future and know what's happening. And our own insecurities and fears get projected out of ourselves and so that we can feel safer about ourselves. And this is one of the reasons it drives prejudices and biases. We want to see evil in someone else as the threat rather than recognizing our own limitations and vulnerabilities.
This pre-wired condition you're talking about, is this something that has, I hate to use the word evolved, is this something that has morphed in us since creation? Because there was no fear in Eden. There was no situation.
Well, there was no fear in Eden prior to sin. But after sin in Eden, they ran and hid because they were
afraid.
Yes, and perfect love casts out all fear. So yes, we have this predisposition to fearfulness and insecurity based on the fall, and it is God's plan to ultimately move us out of fear back to love for others more than ourselves, which ultimately will solve the racial prejudicial problem. Remember, those in Christ, there's neither male nor female, Jew nor Greek, all are one in Christ. When we come to that type of love for other people, we see past the externals because we're not so self-preoccupied. But racism and prejudices are always a manifestation of fear and selfishness.
Mm-hmm. I'm just trying to get a handle here, Dr. Jennings, on what is inside of me that God put there that has been triggered because of fear. If God did not create me to fear, and Adam and Eve were created not to fear, but when sin came, did some part of the brain suddenly wake up that had been there all along, that God had put sort of there as a backup just in case sin happened?
I think that's a misstatement of what happened. I think God didn't put something there as a backup. What happened was something got put there that shouldn't have been there in the first place, and that was lies about God that broke their trust with Him.
When they believed lies
about God, they believed that their whole circumstances were different than it actually was. Think about your own circumstances now, whatever you might be in. If you're in a marriage relationship and you believe a lie that your partner is trying to murder you, they're not. Yeah. They love you. But if you believe they're actually trying to murder you, does something happen in you? Do you have more fear and anxiety? If you believe that someone at work is trying to get you fired, but they're not. They're actually a good friend of yours. But you believe that they're trying to make you look bad and get you fired. Do you have more fear and anxiety? It's false beliefs that undermine much of these things that we fear.
It's sort of like a poison has been put in us that changed our chemistry in our brain that made fear possible. Is that the right
way
to say
that? Well, it is true that what we think and the changing in thought processes alter brain chemistry and neural wiring. There's no question about that. That's exactly right. Because the way God designed us, He had designed us for adaptation. We actually change based on what we think, what we believe, the choices we make, the experiences we go through, and this change goes all the way down to the genetic level. We actually can alter which genes are turned on and which genes are turned off through the choices we make and the way we live our lives.
I'm sure that you have had patients come in that are just racked with fear. They are just fear, high anxiety. Mel Brooks made a movie a long time ago called High Anxiety. These are people who are just afraid of everything. Is this that fear factor you're talking about that has been turned on that they can't turn off?
There's no question about it that there is an imbalance that happens, and why this some people have high anxiety. Sometimes it's because of choices they've made. Sometimes it's because of genetic vulnerabilities that they were born with. Sometimes it's because of life experiences they've gone through. Yes, but ultimately there's an imbalance in neural circuitry, and that leads to this constant anxiety.
So that night in San Francisco, when I embarrassed myself by locking my car when innocent guy walked by.
No, wait a second. See, I think your whole presentation there isn't really accurate. You don't know who that guy was. He might have chuckled, but he might have been a robber, a serial killer. You had no idea whether he's white, black, Hispanic, or whatever. You had no idea who that guy was.
But if he had been white, I may not have done it. That's the thing I'm talking about. Let's talk about that on the other side of the break here, Dr. Jennings. Let's find out what is wrong with me that night in San Francisco when I locked the door, when a black guy walked by, that I may not have locked the door if a white guy had walked by. Let's talk about that when we get back, so stay tuned.
Here's your Daily Heartbeat with Dr. James Markham.
How do we know what's true in the world of diet and weight loss? You know, sometimes we hear low fat, high fat, low carb, high carb, low protein, high protein. Then recently I read an article that says none of the diet plans out there work long term. Well, I say let's get back to the biblical treatment. Let's get back to what the Bible says. You know, friends, the original diet consisted of fresh fruit, nuts, grains, and water. This was the biblical diet. This made Daniel and his friends much smarter than the others just by getting back to the basics. So one thing I want to urge you in any diet plan, let's get back to the biblical plan. Fresh fruits, grains, nuts, vegetables, water. Make that the cornerstone of your good diet.
Thank you, Dr. Markham. If you'd like more information, go to heartwiseministries.org. That's heartwiseministries.org.
Flunking med school can be deadly.
Forceps? Those are forceps, aren't they? No, those sharp thingies over there, I think.
Flunking the test of life is unnecessary because the Discover Bible Course is a delightful, easy-to-use modern set of adult study guides for people just like you.
Wait, are we taking out the liver or that green thing over there?
Enroll in the free Discover Bible Course today to get to know the great physician that can heal all the hurts in your life. Why don't you give us a call and sign up for this series of lessons that will help you connect with Christ? Our toll-free number is 800-775-4673. That's 800-775-4673. Or you can sign up online at lifetalk.net.
Welcome back to Simple Solutions. I'm your host, Charles Mills. We're here with Christian psychiatrist and author Dr. Timothy Jennings, and I think I'm about to get in trouble here. I told a story, and I want Dr. Jennings to please help me on this thing, of when I was driving through a low-rent district of San Francisco at night, and I saw a black man coming toward my car, and I locked the doors. And I was trying to think, if I saw a white man coming toward my car, would I have locked the doors? And I don't think I would have. Dr. Jennings, okay, I'll let you out of the cage. What's wrong with me?
Well, you know, there's multiple things and multiple aspects to examine on this issue. My first question is, why would you not lock the door when you saw a white or Hispanic guy go by? You don't know them any more than you know the black guy. So maybe your problem was not locking the door when the black guy went by. Your problem was really in not locking the door when the white guy and the Hispanic went by.
That's okay. All right. I can go with that. Yes.
I mean, yes. And so some part of you, if you're telling me, you know, a true, you know, introspective awareness of your own self, some part of you feels safer with strangers that are more like you than strangers that are more dissimilar to you.
I would probably have to say that.
Okay.
Probably say that's true. But that sets me up, doesn't it? That sets me up for a real
problem.
That
is the human experience. Racism cuts across all skin colors. Now, they've done actual scientific studies to evaluate this, and it is in fact true that we feel more threatened by people who are more dissimilar to us, and we feel safer around people who are more similar to us. And this has to do with, again, the self preoccupation that we go through the world with and the lenses which we see life through. We make this inaccurate judgment that people who look more like us are going to be more like us, and therefore people who look more dissimilar to us are going to be more distant to us. And therefore, based on the kind of person you are in heart, if you're a good person in heart, then people who look like you, you'll have more trust for. And people who look less like you, you maybe have less trust for. If you're a really wicked person in heart, though, it might be that you trust people who look more like you less because you view them to be more like you. And there is some evidence for that as well. I think coming from
That's
a
true.
Neutral position, the neutral position and what the science would show is that we are wired to fear dissimilarity, to be cautious or apprehensive about things that are strange to us, because strange things, and it's not just people, it's all types of strange things that we are wired for self-protection and self-preservation. And so things that are different and strange are something that will cause our warning signals to go up and beware potential danger, potential threat. What happens is this then becomes culturalized and belief systems and ideas are created that are not based in reality, that are based on fear and based on insecurity, where we begin to create false ideas about one group of people being not as good or not as worthwhile or not as trustworthy as another group of people based on some external factor like size or skin color or hair color or something that has nothing to do with it, based on the fact that they're simply dissimilar to us. And this has happened throughout all human history. This is not something just has happened in America in the last 100 years. And the real challenge and the real beauty of Christianity, of course, is that Christianity calls us away from being preoccupied with self and self-preservation. We're not concerned primarily with what happens to me. We've turned our lives over to Christ and we trust Him. And our concern now is, how can I be used to reach those people who are different than me? And you're actually approaching them with a concern for their welfare and well-being rather than a concern for, oh, what's good for me and how can I be safe?
You know, I've noticed something, Dr. Jennings. I'm a fan, well, not a fan. I like to study the Second World War. I am a student of the Second World War, and I study it probably because of the aviation, and I'm a pilot and all that stuff. But I noticed that during the Second World War, there were a lot of caricatures of the Japanese people that were put in newspapers and magazines, and they were not flattering. I don't see that many caricatures of Iraqis in magazines. Is this running along? They're sort of like us. They're not quite so far away from us as the Japanese are to Americans. The Arabs look sort of like Americans. Is this what's going on? Well, is this what's playing into this?
I think that actually there's been a major change in the overall mentality and the culture of our nation over the last 70 years. Back then, there was a purposeful effort. It was actually intentional, not accidental, to vilify the Japanese. And the reason for that is it's very hard to overcome one's inherent reluctance to hurt another unless we somehow demean that person and make them less human. This is what the Nazis did in Germany. They spent quite a few years making the Jews be subhuman with all the propaganda and stuff that they've done so that we can feel at peace without having a conscience convict us when we hurt them. The same thing was happening in America. In order to bring war to the Japanese, they wanted to subhumanize the Japanese so that people could have less of a reticence to attack and injure the Japanese people in a time of war, including internment camps and other things that we did in this country. I think today there is a greater sensitivity toward racial diversity, and there is a resistance to use those methodologies to categorize a group of people simply by their racial association. And there's been a purposeful attempt to try to dissect out people from their culture and say we need to judge people based on the character of their heart, not just based on where they were born in the world or what genetics they happen to have. So I think there's a real effort on our parts to make that distinction today by the majority, even though the minority and some groups will still use just simple racial profiling.
It sounds like that the world, at least the media, is doing what we should be doing internally. They're doing externally what we should be doing internally. We should be doing the same thing. We should look toward the sameness that we have with other people as opposed to the diversity. Is that right? Is that right?
I think so. I mean, the reality is we are all descendants of Adam and Eve. We are all brothers and sisters on this earth. The question is, have we partaken of God's remedy so that our hearts are being renewed to be like Christ? Or have we bought into the snake oil from the original snake oil salesman and bought another methodology for living our lives, which is a self-centered based, self-preservation based system, regardless of how we couch it, where we can justify exploiting and hurting others in order to protect ourselves?
All right. We're talking with Dr. Timothy Jennings today about diversity, dealing with differences. And our phone lines are now open. If you'd like to jump in with a question or comment, here's the number, 800-775-4673. That's 800-775-4673. And I think today's discussion is vitally important because as Christians, we need to have the mind of Christ. And the mind of Christ was reflective of his acceptance of everyone. He did not distinguish. He saw the humanity in everyone. And we need to have that mind as well. And I'm trying to figure out with Dr. Jennings' help why we don't have that.
It's interesting that in society, if people want to be discerning, they should observe that people who seek political power, regardless of what words they say, promote racism. And the reason they promote racism is because it's a way to engender a power base and continue their political power base by appealing to one ethnic group over another ethnic group and splitting and dividing. This is Satan's method. Satan is a divider. God is a uniter.
Yes.
And as we come to know Christ, the Bible tells us that our citizenship is not in heaven. Jesus said his kingdom is not of this world. And as we come to know Christ, we actually become less and less concerned with the politics of what's going on in the nations that we live in and more concerned with promoting the kingdom of God regardless of where we live. And Satan doesn't want that. One of the grand strategies of the evil one is to actually divert the energy of the church into promoting political agendas and earthly governments rather than promoting God's kingdom on earth, regardless of the earthly government.
Right. 800-775-4673 is our phone number. We're talking about diversity today, dealing with differences. 800-775-4673. I was telling you before the show, I'm watching a series that I got from PBS called Carrier. This is the story of the USS Nimitz aircraft carrier that went to war in the Persian Gulf in 2005. And this video came out last year. It was about the people on there. It's a documentary, sort of reality documentary. And it is fascinating. One of the characters in here was a boy from Texas. And he was a self-proclaimed prejudice. I mean, he hated anybody that was not white. Black, he hated blacks, he hated Hispanics, he hated anybody. And the reason he gave over and over and over again, he was finally kicked off the ship. The reason he gave was he was raised that way. His mom and dad taught him that. He could be nothing other than that. Is this a viable excuse, or is this just an excuse?
It's a viable explanation for why someone might have hardline racism. It's not a viable explanation for why somebody is unwilling to change. Mm-hmm. Regardless of what our parents teach us, we can, as adults, reevaluate what we were taught, look at the evidence, and come to new conclusions and change our belief system. This is how people of all backgrounds are able to, quote, convert from one belief and faith system to another belief and faith system. So, and how are they able to do it? Because they evaluate for themselves what they were taught, and they come to new insights and new conclusions. And so every one of us has to recognize that our parents were not perfect. Even if we had good, loving, and decent parents, they were not perfect. They made mistakes. They didn't have all knowledge. They didn't know all facts. They were basing their decisions on the information they had at the time. And ultimately, when we become adults, it's our responsibility to evaluate how we were raised, the methods, the principles, the value systems we were taught by our parents, and come to our own conclusions about these things, keeping that which is good and replacing those things that can be improved upon.
Well, this is a fascinating conversation here about a topic that I think touches every one of us. We have a break coming up here, Dr. Jennings, and when we come back, I want to take some phone calls at 800-775-4673. Also, I want to find out what steps a person can take if an individual is saying, you know, I think I have some of these feelings against people who are not like me. What are some of the steps that we can take, practical 1, 2, 3, 4 steps that we can take to try to overcome that prejudice? Because you know what, folks? When we get to heaven, it's one melting pot up there, okay? We're all not going to become black or white or Hispanic. We're all going to become children of God, and we're going to look and sound just like we do here, only sin removed. So we need to work on this thing. We need to get it right now so we can prepare ourselves for heaven. So we'll be talking about that on our return. Our phone lines are open for your questions and comments, 800-775-4673, 800-775-4673. Give us a call right now. Come on the air, ask your question, and Dr. Jennings will be very happy to talk to you and give some advice and some guidance, as he does for me every single week. I'm not only just the host of this program, I'm a listener of this program, and I love every minute of it. 800-775-4673. Stay right where you are.
Just the word prayer makes me fidget and squirm. It's not something I do well at all.
Oh, how I identify with that fidgeting and squirming. This is Elizabeth George for A Woman After God's Own Heart. Why does prayer make us feel so intimidated? I think it's because even though we know praying will be rewarding and a blessing, it's serious business. Approaching a holy God is a joy and a privilege, but it's an awesome, almost fearful consideration. Then there's finding time, making the effort. You know, don't you? What a battle! As women of God, let's purpose together to be women of prayer, no matter what. Let's begin a shared journey of learning more about prayer. The Bible says, pray without ceasing. Let's seek a life lived on bended knee. This is Elizabeth George.
This is the Duchess of York. What's really important in your life? Of course, it's your family and your friends. But isn't it also your health? As the saying goes, when you have your health, you have everything. Maintaining a healthy weight is an important part of a happy and healthy life. People who are overweight or obese are at a greater risk for serious health issues and illnesses such as cancer. An easy way to see if you're at risk is to check your BMI number or body mass index. It's a simple calculation determined by your height and your weight. The lower the number, the lower the risk. It's that simple. So lose weight in a healthy way. You'll lower your BMI number. Now, isn't that important? For more information and to check your BMI number, visit the website of the American Cancer Society at www.cancer.org. You and your family and friends will be glad you did.
Jesus said in John 14:27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." Do you long for that peace in your life? Let's return to Simple Solutions with Christian psychiatrist and author Dr. Timothy Jennings.
Well, I can certainly guarantee that if you have prejudiced thoughts, if you are a prejudiced person, you are not going to have any kind of peace in your life. We're talking with Dr. Jennings here about diversity and dealing with the differences that we see in this world. Dr. Jennings, before the break, I laid down a challenge. I said, let's have a three-step or four-step or five-step program that we can follow if we have prejudicial feelings, if we see a black person or a Hispanic person or a white person, and we see this person and we say, you know, I don't like that person, and here's why, because they're different from I am. How do we overcome that? Can you give us some steps to help us there?
No.
Okay, all right.
No, there are no steps for helping a problem like this. This problem is rooted in fear. Our fear and insecurity that leads to jealousy and envy over those who we see as a threat to our position. If you look at racism, it's always based on fear and insecurity that this other person is a threat to you. This is why you're jealous, you're envious, you have hatred, you want to hurt them because you see them as somehow threatening your livelihood, your position in life, your manhood, your womanhood, whatever it might be. Racism and prejudice is based on fear and insecurity. And there's nothing we and of ourselves as human beings can do to overcome that. We're born with it, we're wired with it. As it says in Psalms 51, we're born in sin, conceived in iniquity. That doesn't mean there isn't a remedy, but it's not a human-made remedy of steps that we can simply do and have this change. The remedy ultimately for this type of problem is love, where we genuinely come to care and love about others more than ourselves. And that type of love is not something you, by force of will or by going to the right classes, can conjure up in your heart. That type of love comes from the Holy Spirit regenerating the heart and renewing the heart. And it can, and the Holy Spirit works in everybody whose heart is open to the working of the Holy Spirit, regardless of ethnic background, race, where they are in the globe, what opportunities they've had to hear the word. However, preaching the gospel and teaching people the truth about Jesus Christ has a marked benefit when the gospel is presented correctly in opening the heart to experience this type of love. And as this type of love flows in the heart, our fear goes away and therefore prejudices fall away.
Very good, very good. 800-775-4673. Let's go out to California and talk to Faye. Hi, Faye. What's on your heart today?
Well, I have the same problem. I understand completely what you were feeling when you locked the doors and how you feel about yourself afterwards.
Yes,
a couple of weeks ago, I was taking my mother for a walk around the block in a wheelchair, and a black couple came up, and they just, like, obviously weren't from our neighborhood. They looked like they had just gotten off a bus and had been traveling all day, and they didn't have anything with them, and, like, suitcases or whatever. And their clothes were really dusty and pretty tattered. And I just felt like, well, you know, it's okay to be friendly. So I said hello, and I greeted them. And the lady was very kind, and she asked how old my mother was. And then the gentleman asked if I had any money. I was just taking my mother for a walk in a wheelchair around the block. I didn't have anything on me. I honestly didn't have that much money if I would have taken them home to give them. But I gave them a few things from a pouch in the wheelchair just to invite them to church. And afterwards, when I took my mother home, and to this day, it's been almost 2 weeks, I just keep beating myself up over, why didn't I invite them in for a meal, ask them if they had a place to stay? And the struggle I've been having is, in relation, it says the fearful and the unbelieving. Well, I take that to mean, if I'm too frightened to clothe the naked or poorly clad or feed the hungry or give shelter when I've got plenty of room in my home, and I'm too frightened of my safety or the safety of my mother, then am I one of the fearful and unbelieving spoken of in Revelation, where, you know, we need to overcome, like Dr. Dunning says, and have love and and faith in God, that when we're loving others, no matter what the outcome is to us, we're, I don't know, just...
Faye, I think you're hitting on some really important points here, and I think that it's exactly right as you describe what's going on in out of Revelation, that our fear is one of the barriers to actually loving other people. And as fear goes up, love goes down. And as love, genuine love for others goes up, our fear goes down. Fear is a process of primarily putting self first and being concerned of what's going to happen to me. Am I going to be safe? Am I going to get the grades? Am I going to get the money? Am I going to get my food? Am I going to, you know, it's a self preoccupation that fear drives us to. Whereas love for others puts self second. And as we come to love others more, you know, then our concern for self fades away and our fear has less power over us. This type of love is not something we can generate. It's something we can recognize we need. And we reach out to God and say, Lord, pour your love into my heart that your love may flow over and I may experience your love and then love others. And then we can go forward in loving others. But that doesn't necessarily mean that we are foolish or misusing the judgment and wisdom God has given us. If God gives us a clear direction and a clear calling, like he did many of his people in the Bible times to go to a particular place and do a particular service for him, then yes, we would follow that. But that doesn't mean we necessarily put ourselves in harm's way with the expectation that, well, it'll be okay, God will protect me. We have to still be wise, as Jesus said, wise as serpents, but harmless as doves. And he says, you know, we shake the dust off the feet of those. We don't cast our pearls before swine, lest they turn and rend us asunder. So there's a place where we're not afraid, but we also don't blindly just throw ourselves in danger, expecting God to protect us when we actually could have had good judgment to say, you know, this isn't the time or place for us to be putting ourselves in harm's way.
Oh, thank you. My request, I guess, is pray for you to pray for our listeners, to pray for anyone who can identify that we're more instant in prayer and faith with the wisdom of a serpent, but the gentleness and kindness and love of a dove.
No, it's a great point, Faye, great point. I think we could do a lot more if we weren't so preoccupied with watching out for ourselves and we're able to love others more. And there's another aspect, though, to helping the panhandler on the street as well, and that is that love is not simply giving, giving, giving. That is not loving. When we give, 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 we can enable destructive harmful behaviors in others and actually work against them. I mean, for instance, God has the capacity to give every one of us every desire of our heart, but he doesn't do it. And the reason he doesn't is he knows that with our carnal nature and our weakness and our human ability, that if he just gives us everything and we have no obstacles to struggle with in our own life, that we will be harmed by that process as we won't wrestle with the own deficiencies in our own character through his grace to overcome. And so parents who indulge their children and just give, 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 we see oftentimes that giving without any type of withholding is destructive for them and enables an indulgent life where they have no capacity for self-governance. And so there are circumstances where somebody might be in need, but they're in need by their own negligence. And this is why Paul says in Corinthians, those who do not work shall not eat, because it's the hunger that drives them to gain self-governance and self-mastery, which is the ultimate goal, not simply giving them a meal. And as the old Indian proverb says, you know, give somebody, you know, a meal, you feed them for a day, but you teach them to fish, you feed them for a lifetime. And the goal is to teach them the habits and abilities that they can translate into a healthy living for a lifetime, not just providing a meal for a day. So it's more complex than just seeing somebody that has a need and saying, okay, I'm going to pull $5 out of my pocket and hand them $5. That $5 might be their next beer, their next cocaine hit or whatever it might be, and it might not be in their best interest to do that. So I know some cities have actually developed these programs where you can donate to a food bank, and then the food bank gives you coupons, and you can hand out a coupon where the person can go to the food bank and get a free meal rather than handing money that can be misused and enabled. And some of those programs are very helpful that we can actually use our energies to help people in real need while not enabling people who are exploitive. I've also heard news reports about people who stand on the corner and say, we'll work for food. And at the holiday season, they can make tens and hundreds of thousands of dollars even as people just go by. And this is their job for the year that they plan on collecting money from people and never working. Some of these things are not helpful. That doesn't mean there aren't people out there with real needs, but I think that we have to be wise as serpents as we go out to help people, not just simply throwing money out our door at everybody that walks by.
Thank you. That gives so much perspective, and sometimes guilt can be false guilt, huh?
There's no question about it. And the devil plays on the false guilt. And that's where we step back and say, wait a minute, what's the truth? What are my responsibilities? And if God hasn't given you a clear directive, and God will, if we're in tune with him and we ask the Holy Spirit to lead, the Holy Spirit will give us clear directives at certain times and places of what actions we need to take. But without those clear directives, we need to be careful we're not just responding to our own need to make our own selves look righteous in our own eyes so that we can have peace and say, yes, I've done my Christian duty. And it's really about us rather than about the other person.
Oh, thank you. I think you nailed it. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Faye. Bye-bye. 800-775-4673. We're talking about diversity here, and we're talking about dealing with our inborn prejudice, racism, that is, I think, part of the sin package. I guess that would be safe to say, Dr. Jennings, that racism is probably part of that sin package. Am I right?
There's no question it's part of this impact because it stems from fear and self-centeredness, and that's the root to it. When you're a racist, you're more concerned about self than you are the other person.
Yeah.
But prejudices go beyond skin color. Prejudice go beyond skin color, and we're talking about one form of bias and prejudice, which is skin color and racism, but there's also prejudice of religion, where people are persecuted not by skin color, but by the religion they practice. And in America, in the beginning of the colonies, people were persecuted. They were all pretty much Caucasian, and they were persecuted if they didn't belong to certain religious groups. Look at the Catholic and Protestant wars in Ireland. All Irish, yet still persecuting each other based on religion. And so religious biases and prejudice are often the form of, and how about Hindu and Muslim fighting in India and Pakistan and around the world we go. We have this bias and prejudice. Why? Because people are not like us and don't believe like us, and we are fearful of what they might do. And I know that there are some cultures in the world that if somebody converts to Christianity, the family will kill the person who converts to Christianity. Sure. What is that about? Where is love in those relationships? It's fear-based, self-centered-based motivations that lead to these types of things.
Well, we have a break coming up here, and after the break, a little bit more on this important discussion. Listener, if you have a question or comment, we invite you to give us a call right now, 800-775-4673. That's 800-775-4673. I also want to tell you about a website you can visit after the show, www.comeandreason.com. That's Dr. Jennings' website, just chock full of blogs and programs you can listen to and resources you can enjoy to help you get that character of God correct in your mind. That's what this is all about, learning the true character of God. 800-775-4673 is our phone number for your questions and comments here. The website is comeandreason.com. Stay right where you are.
Too many Christians don't know the truth about dinosaurs. But Christian scientist Dr. Elaine Graham Kennedy is out to change that. Dr. Kennedy is a research scientist who has done field work at dig sites in remote places like Patagonia. She has spent her life studying dinosaurs. And now she has published a remarkable book called Dinosaurs, published by Pacific Press, that is both scientifically based and biblically sound. It answers the questions many Christians ask. Did dinosaurs really live? Are dinosaur bones fake? Who made the dinosaurs? What happened to them? And were dinosaurs on Noah's Ark? Dr. Kennedy's book, Dinosaurs, is filled with interesting facts, photographs, and colorful charts. It is a must for every Christian home and perfect for reading with your kids. To get a copy, visit www.pacificpress.com or call 1-800-765-6955.
I knew right away this fatal accident was caused by a driver who had fallen asleep behind the wheel.
Trooper Buck Carter is a 17-year veteran of the state police.
I've learned to spot the driver who has fallen asleep. There's no skid marks. They don't try to stop or even slow down. They never see it coming.
Sleep deprivation is a serious problem both on and off the highway. Today, two-thirds of all Americans don't get the sleep doctors recommend. 70 million have problems sleeping. And when it comes to the consequences, they never see it coming. Inadequate sleep has been linked to health and safety risks, even premature death. But new treatments are helping millions get the sleep they need. So talk to your doctor or take our free risk assessment on the web at www.sleepfoundation.org. Sleep deprivation. It's real, it's dangerous, and it's more treatable than ever.
Welcome back to the program. Phone lines open, 800-775-4673. We're talking with Dr. Timothy Jennings, Christian psychiatrist and author, about dealing with differences, the diversity that we face in our life. We've talked about prejudice and racism and bias. There's another one, Dr. Jennings, that a lot of people may say, yeah, I can understand that, and that is sexism. Sexism is a form of prejudice, am I right?
There's no question about it, and the roots are still the same. It is fear and selfishness. Sexism comes primarily from men who are insecure with their own manhood and their own authority and their own leadership and their own capabilities, who have to demean women with capability or of intelligence because they fear the loss of governance, control, authority, respect. And so they will domineer and demean women as a way of maintaining some sense of self-esteem and control and authority in their own purview and world. Where men can see this is men who have struggled with this. Look, is when you were growing up in adolescence in high school and college, and how, well, men are better than women, they're stronger, and how it's not fair, how, you know, in the military that women have to do less push-ups and can have more time to do their run, they're supposed to be equal, and yet at the same time we have these double standards for them, blah, 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 and you get this sense of it until you become a dad and you have a daughter. And then your daughter wants to do archery, or she wants to do soccer at school, and the money's all for the boys and there's no money for the girls. And then how do you feel suddenly?
Yeah.
Whoa, hold on now. My daughter has, you know, and what's the difference? Love. I love my daughter. I don't love those other women. You see?
Yes.
See, and the thing that frees our hearts from fear and selfishness and prejudice is love. And when we come to love people, then suddenly those differences fade away and we're all one in Christ. Male or female, Jew or Greek, we're all one in Christ when we have love for one another. But when there's no love, then selfishness comes out, diversity comes out, and we strive for supremacy and we look for differences that will justify in our own minds putting ourselves above others. But Christ said, he who was equal with God did not think equality with God was something to be grasped, but humbled himself, even to the form of a servant, even to the cross. That is the Christ-like attitude, lowering self to benefit and uplift others. Whereas Lucifer in heaven wanted to ascend to the mount of God, to the utmost heights of the north. He wanted to put himself even on God's throne and overthrow God. So he was wanting to promote himself upward, upward, upward. Christ was willing to humble himself downward, downward, downward.
I'm going to ask you a question, Dr. Jennings, and I usually like to ask you questions that I have an idea of the answer, but this one I do not have any idea of the answer. You mentioned that in the military, women don't have the same requirements. You know, the number of push-ups don't run as fast. And, you know, you don't see too many NFL female players. If they went out there, they would just get creamed. Okay. Are there legitimate differences that we think are prejudicial that are actual, that we should say, hey, there is a reason for this. Let's not kill ourselves and knock ourselves out because we're feeling prejudice. There's a reason behind this prejudice. Yeah, is there something like that?
And I'm glad you brought that up, because in the attempt to move away from sexism and these types of things, there can be this other irrational type of position where we try to take the position that there is no difference. Well, that's not true. It's obvious that there are significant differences between men and women. There's no question about it. But there are no differences when it comes to moral worth, to value as a human being, to human rights, to the right to pursue one's happiness, to the ability to be self-governing and in charge of oneself and self-determining, and the freedoms that one has as an individual. There are no difference in these things. As God sees us as his children and the value we have in his heart, there are no differences. But there are differences in the average height of a man and average height of a woman. There are differences in the overall strength of a man and a woman, a physical strength. There are differences in every cell of the body, as every woman's body, their cells have two X chromosomes. One is invalidated and becomes a what's called a bar body, and every man has a Y chromosome that a woman doesn't have. So there's a difference on the cellular level all the way down to every cell of the body. There are differences. So those differences are not denied, but those differences don't change the value of moral worth, autonomy, individuality, ability to be self-governing, self-determining, and the freedoms one has as a child of God. We have equal worth in those sites. And what happens is fear and selfishness in the heart has caused those who are more physically powerful, men, to exert an unhealthy control and domination over their weaker partner, and often the unhealthy men in relationships will then blame their wives for their own shortcomings and failings.
Okay, I am now going to light a fire. If you remember the old Mission Impossible television series, the match is hitting the wick and it is sparkling, and here's the question. Is there a difference between the male and the female brain?
Of course there is. There's no question about it. Lots of differences between the male and female brain, and it has to do with the hormonal effects on the brain tissue itself. Testosterone and estrogen have different effects on how the brain develops and how the neural wiring goes. An estrogenizing effect on a brain, you can estrogenize a brain during the uterine development, and if you do, you'll have more feminine characteristics even if the child is a male child. And so hormonal effects, the hormones, testosterone and estrogen, go right through the blood-brain barrier. They go right through the cell membrane. They go right through the nuclear membrane, straight down to the DNA, and they exert effects directly on DNA and alter gene expression. So, of course, there's going to be differences because the genes themselves are being affected by the hormones difference to male, men and women.
Does this then lead to different capacity of thought in males and females?
Different emphasis. The studies show that most female brains have larger anterior cingulate cortexes than men. The anterior cingulate cortex is where we experience love, compassion, empathy, and sympathy for other people. This is why women tend to be much more compassionate, much more caring, much more relationally oriented than men, because the brain region that is responsible for these types of experiences are generally larger in women than in men. So you might say
This is the argument you have in the military. If you have a woman fighting in an F-18 screaming down over Baghdad and a man beside, one, they're going to act differently, but they're not supposed to act differently. Will they act differently?
You've just muddied the waters. See, that's not what you've done is you've taken what I've said and tried to apply it to a scenario and draw a conclusion from it. That conclusion is not necessarily warranted because you haven't taken into account no education, experience, and the free will choices of the individuals. Just because a woman has a greater capacity for empathy, compassion, and love doesn't mean she will be compromised in her healthy decision-making by those capacities. And that's the inference you're trying to draw because of these differences, that she might not be able to make the same appropriate choices in a given circumstances. And I think that inference is flawed.
Okay, very good. So in other words, you're saying that while they may have emotional capacity that men do not have by and large, they both can build a bridge, they both can build a nation, they both can lead a nation, they both can fire against an enemy. As far as that's concerned, they're on equal footing, male and female.
The ability to form healthy character, wise thinking, judicious self-governance is not determined by your sex. It is determined by the free will choices you make as an individual as you grow and develop. And so a woman or a man is equally capable of becoming a mature and healthy person. I actually think that women have an advantage over men because they are more innately compassionate and caring and ultimately more open to God's leading in their life. But that isn't a guarantee. There are many evil women in the world. Because they are more biologically compassionate and caring, they have a greater capacity for God's love to influence their development. Men, however, as they come to experience God in their life, the brain is in constant state of flux. The neural circuits we fire, the neural circuits we utilize grow stronger and expand, and we can measure growth in the anterior cingulate cortex. So as we meditate and worship a God of love and embrace those methods and principles in our life, and the Holy Spirit comes into our life, there are actually brain changes. And so a man man's anterior cingulate cortex can grow, and his capacity for love, empathy, tenderness, and so forth grows stronger and stronger. In the Bible, you remember James and John were called the sons of thunder, but they became the apostles of love.
That's right.
Okay,
that's right.
Because that's right. Something was happening in their brain. Their brains were changing. So the biological differences do not determine the ultimate outcome of who we become. It's the free will choices we make with the information we have over the course of our lifetime.
And we can broaden that out of sexism into all of humanity, male, female, black, white, Hispanic, the moral worth, the human right, the self-governance, the freedom, and the mental capacity of all people have the same potential. Wow, that is important for all of us to know, including a guy that locks his doors in San Francisco late at night. Dr. Jennings, thank you so much for being here and talking to us and bringing us this information. This is wonderful stuff. We appreciate it. And listener, there is a website you can go to continue learning about life and brains and mental capacities, and that's comeandreason.com. We have a blog there. You can listen to these past shows and this one too. You can get resources to help you as you try to understand the character of God and to have that fear that comes with sin excised from your mind. Comeandreason.com. Until next week, this is Charles Mills with Dr. Timothy Jennings, inviting you to apply the simple solutions God placed in your heart today. Goodbye, everyone.
Simple Solutions is a production of Life Talk Radio and Dr. Timothy Jennings, and is made possible by your generous support. For more information, visit www.comeandreason.com.